If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, let's open them to Exodus chapter 20, and we'll begin reading in verse 8. Exodus chapter 20, and we'll begin reading in verse 8. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your strangers who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." I remember being a senior in high school. I know some of you will think that's amazing. I can actually remember that far back. But I do remember being a senior, and one of my friends at the time was dating a girl. My friend was a member of the church in Neosho, and he was dating this girl who they worshiped on the Sabbath. And basically, whenever he would ask her about that, that was her response. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Well, is that still for us today? Because if it is still for us, then that's what you and I should be doing. If those verses there apply to us, then you and I need to be observing the Sabbath and keeping it holy and ceasing from work, just like those verses say. So whether we are to observe the Sabbath or not is a very important question. And of course it's to that we want to turn our attention to tonight. Are those verses, is that command something for us? I appreciate what David has done sometimes in his class on Sunday morning. He said if you he'll take a verse, two or three verses, and he says, if you've never read anything else in the Bible and read those verses, what would you believe? Well, let's look at those few verses right there. If you've never read a single other verse in the Bible, nothing at all, never read anything before that or anything after that, you've just read those three or four verses, what would your belief be? Well, I need to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, right? But reading the Bible is in many ways like reading any other type of literature. You can't just pick something out and assume you know exactly what it's talking about. We call that taking out of context, don't we? You know, you can read a newspaper article, and sometimes you can, if you take one or two sentences out of the newspaper article, you'll come up with the exact opposite of what the writer was trying to say. Or maybe a newscast or a book or whatever. If you just take something out and pay no attention to anything else that was said or written, then you can come up with a gross misunderstanding of what was said or what was meant. So what we don't want to do tonight is that. In other words, we want to look at all the Bible says about this, so that we can come to a conclusion as to whether we need to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And of course, it's to that we want to turn our attention. The first thing we want to look at is the Hebrew word that is translated Sabbath. We always want to go back and find out as much as we can about that word. Well, the root word from which we get Sabbath simply means to cease or rest. So obviously, you have to know a lot of the context to know what we're talking about. What are you ceasing from, or what are you resting from? This word is first used, of course, as it says there, the context goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, when it says that God rested from His labors. He ceased from His work all the way back, of course, talking about the creation of the world. And it's that example that would one day be used for the Israelites. As Moses says there in verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and rested the seventh day." So that was going to be an example for the Israelites one day. And of course we know when that one day is, and we'll soon see, because he mentions it right there in Exodus chapter 20. If we look at the context closely. But with that, it's very, very important to look at all that happens from Genesis chapter 1 all the way through Exodus chapter 20. If I want to understand, am I to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy? I need to look at what was said from the very beginning all the way through that time. And so we look at God's record, we look at Genesis, and we look at those chapters in Exodus that lead up to Exodus chapter 20. And what do we find? We find that there's not a single individual that remembered the Sabbath and kept it holy prior to this time. Not a single individual in the entire Bible up to that time has kept the Sabbath. Not a one. So when we start looking at Adam and Eve all the way up to the time of Moses, nobody did. The record says nothing about anyone observing the Sabbath until we see the giving of the Sabbath by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. And that says a lot. I mean, that speaks volumes that no individual ever observed it. If an individual had observed it, God certainly would have told us about it. He would have had examples of patriarchs, whether it was Abraham or whether it was Noah or Jacob or whoever, observing the Sabbath. But none of them was ever recorded as having observed the Sabbath. So the Sabbath keeping does not go back to the days of Adam and Eve. Some people like to say that, but they're speaking from silence, because there is no one that was said to have ever done that until the time of Moses. So we go then to the second thing, and that is the Sabbath law. To whom was it given then? Because if it's still for me, I need to be observing it every week. And I want to make sure I look at the context and look at all the Bible has to say, and not just a few words. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses goes over these Ten Commandments. And we'll see him repeat these commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Remember, Deuteronomy is the second law, the second giving of the law. That's what the word means. It was given as a reminder to the Israelites, of course, before they went into the Promised Land. And notice what Moses says, beginning in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and following. "And Moses called all Israel," this is verse 1, "and said to them, 'Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them.'" So who's he giving this to? All Israel. That's what he says, right? That's the context. All Israel. "The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb." Well, now he gives us more details. This is a covenant that he gave or made with us, Israel, that's the context, in Horeb. Well, he gives us some more details. "The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers." Now that statement alone should forever put to rest that people observed the Sabbath prior to this time. Because Moses clearly says that God did not make this covenant, the one that was made in Horeb with these statutes and judgments, with their fathers. But rather he says, "But with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive." I don't think Moses in that third verse could have made that clear to you. Is there any way to possibly misunderstand that? But yet millions of people do, don't they? But it's because they choose to misunderstand it. And I think that's a very good point to make. They choose to misunderstand that. Because the Bible's too clear. Moses said that law, that covenant, that testament was not made with anybody prior to those I am talking to. Not a soul. Wasn't given to Adam and Eve, wasn't given to Abraham, wasn't given to Noah, wasn't given to any of those people. He says, not a one. But God made this covenant with us. Those I'm talking to, Moses says. Not with our fathers. Well, we go then, of course, down to verse 12, and we see these same words repeated that we read back in Exodus 20. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. Who's he giving that to? Remember, it's not given to the fathers. Nobody prior to that was given this command. He says this was given to us, those I'm speaking to, those who are alive. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And then he repeats about not doing any work. Then verse 15, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Why were they to keep the Sabbath day? One of the main reasons was what? To remember the fact that God delivered them out of Egypt. Did God deliver Abraham out of Egypt? No. God deliver Noah out of Egypt? No. Isaac and Jacob out of Egypt? No. So the Sabbath day was clearly, without a doubt, no way to contradict it, was only given to those Israelites that came out of Egyptian bondage. And not a single person before that was ever commanded to remember the Sabbath and make it holy. This was the one that was given at Sinai. We recall the story, of course, we don't have time to read it, where Moses went up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, to receive those commandments, that law, the new covenant. And we remember that story about him getting those 10 commandments. And then, of course, from there, all the other statutes and judgments that were given to them. And who was it given to? It was given to those Israelites. We go to Ezekiel chapter 20, many, many years later. And Ezekiel reminds his readers of this. Ezekiel chapter 20, and we'll begin reading in verse 10. Of course, again, Ezekiel addressing Israel, God's chosen people. Verse 10 of Ezekiel 20 says, therefore I made them go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. This is God speaking through them, reminding of them of it. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Who were the Sabbaths given to? Those Israelites that came out of Egypt. The nation of Israel did not exist prior to the time of Egypt. There was no nation of Israel. That nation only came together as a nation as they were taken out of Egypt and, of course, went through the wilderness and finally into the promised land. So this was the covenant. This was the law. Sometimes we call it the law of Moses. In Nehemiah chapter 9, we have one other place. So I want us to notice the time frame that we're looking at from Exodus chapter 20 all the way to the time of Nehemiah. You know, that's over 1,000 years. Well over 1,000 years. And throughout that time, on more than one occasion, the writer, by inspiration, tells his readers, those Israelites, that the Sabbath was given to them and them only. In Nehemiah chapter 9, and I want to begin reading in verse 12. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 12. This is what is said. Moreover, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the road which they should travel. You came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, your servant. Who made known to them the holy Sabbaths? God did through Moses when he came down from Sinai. Again, Nehemiah couldn't have made it any clearer that the Sabbath was given by Moses, or by God through Moses, to the Israelites after they came out of Egyptian bondage. And it was never given to anybody before that. And that is such a critical point in the religious world today. So the Sabbath observance, it was a part of the law of Moses, was only given to Israel, and it was never given to any other people. It didn't have any meaning to anybody else anyway. The meaning was about being delivered from Egyptian bondage, and that didn't apply to any group of people other than Israel. So, since it was given to Israel, is that Sabbath law still with us? Are there any people who should be observing the Sabbath? That's a very good point as well, one that we need to address. Well, we saw that the Sabbath observance was a part of the law of Moses. Nehemiah just said that in Nehemiah 9, as well as some of those other passages. So we need to look and see if the law of Moses is still functional. Is it still in existence as far as something we're to follow and obey and submit to? Many people in the world do, don't they? They still believe that the law of Moses is the law that God has given people today. And that's the law we should be following and nothing else but the law of Moses. Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, we again don't have time to look at all, but I'm going to mention several of them. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, Paul, who of course was raised Jewish, wasn't he? He was trained in a Jewish school. Remember, he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the great Jewish teachers of the first century. So Paul knew the law of Moses. Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, this is what Paul writes to the Christians at Ephesus. He says, "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who's made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished, done away with, in his flesh, the enmity." And what's he calling the enmity? "The law of commandments contained in ordinances." Why? "So as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace." What was it that was separating? What was the wall of separation that separated Jews from Gentiles? Well, physically, there was a place in the temple in the first century that separated Jews from Gentiles. So the law of Moses separated, Paul is saying, Jews and Gentiles. He calls it the enmity. He calls it the law of commandments contained in ordinances. And what did he say Jesus did in his flesh? He abolished it. So while Jesus was on earth, he abolished it. He didn't destroy it. He abolished it. Galatians says he fulfilled it, right? The law pointed to Christ. The law wasn't ever meant to last forever. As soon as it was given on Sinai, it started to fade away. One of those law of commandments was what? The law of the Sabbath. In Romans chapter 7, when Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he told them the exact same thing in Romans chapter 7. Beginning in verse 4, this is what Paul tells them. talking to the church at Rome, beginning in verse 4. Paul says, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ." Now, he explains and tells us exactly what he's talking about at the end of this passage. "That you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we've been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." It's unfortunate that so many in the religious world don't understand the difference between what he's talking about being in the Spirit and in the letter. It has nothing to do with your attitude or your mind or anything like that. He's comparing what? The old and the new law. Just like he does throughout the book of Romans. So what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Well, certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. Now he's getting ready to define what law he's talking about. Notice this. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, "You shall not covet." What law said you shall not covet? The law of Moses. So the law he's been talking about since verse 4 is the law of Moses. And what did he say about it? You are dead to it. You're dead to the law of Moses. You're dead to the observance of the Sabbath. You're dead to those daily sacrifices. You're dead to tithing. You're dead to those things. You're not attached to them anymore. They're not your authority anymore. Now you're married to who? You're married to Christ. So the same law that said you shall not covet also said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And they were both abolished. You mean it's okay for me to covet today? It would be if the law of Christ didn't tell us the same thing. The law of Christ tells us not to covet. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're told not to covet. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, notice beginning in verse 9 what Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous." That's what he says. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the only reason that coveting is wrong today, not because it was a part of the law of Moses, that has nothing to do with us, but you shall not covet is also part of the law of Christ, the new covenant, the new law. So that's why we're not to covet, not because it's in the Ten Commandments, but because it's a part of the law of Christ. The law of Moses, in its entirety, every last part of it, in every way, every command, every ordinance, every statute, every single one of them was nailed, as the Bible says, to the cross. It was abolished by Christ. He fulfilled it. All of that is gone. There is now no law of Moses that we're to follow in any way, shape, or form. We are completely now under the law of Christ, the new covenant. It was the new covenant that Jeremiah prophesied about that was going to come in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34, right? And then, of course, it's quoted in the New Testament. That law, the law of Moses, was temporary. It was never meant to last forever. Even though, again, millions of people still think it was, the Bible clearly says, even in the Old Testament, that the Old Testament was not to last. That law that Jeremiah talks about was given to those fathers, those at that time. Wasn't to last. And of course, it's gone now. The entire law of Moses is gone. We don't follow any aspect of it in any way. So the fourth and final thing is, then what about a Christian Sabbath? What about a Christian Sabbath? Some people today call the Lord's Day the Christian Sabbath. You've probably heard that expression used before. And that because it's the Christian Sabbath, we're to make certain observances because of it. It's not supposed to be a day of any type of activity at all. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, the Christians are to worship together. No doubt about that. But not on Saturday. How many Christians do we see worshiping on Saturday, meeting together on Saturday to partake of the Lord's Supper and so forth in the New Testament? You're right, not a single one. None. When did they meet? On the first day of the week. Time after time after time. Remember Paul in Acts chapter 20 waited until Sunday came around so he could worship with the Christians. Well, the Sabbath came before Sunday. Why didn't he just go ahead and worship on Sabbath? Because that wasn't the day that Christians worshiped anymore. It was the first day of the week. Paul said, you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the first two verses, that there was to be a collection made, and when it was to be taken up? On the first day of the week. Why? That's when Christians met. That was the Lord's day. Remember, that's the day that Christ rose from the dead. The early morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. What did they find? It was empty. That's the Lord's day. It's the first day of the week. But as we look at the New Testament, Sunday, the Lord's day, the first day of the week, is never called, not a single time, the Christian Sabbath. Never. The Bible says today there's neither Jew nor Greek, is there? There's neither Jew nor Greek now. Though those things don't matter. Why? Because the law of Moses isn't in effect anymore. Back when it was in effect, it made a big difference whether you were Jew or Greek, Jew or Gentile. That's not today. And one of the reasons is because the law of Moses is no longer in effect, not in any shape. But the Bible says there is a rest coming for faithful Christians. There is a rest coming. And the Bible is very clear about it. In Hebrews chapter 4, and this will finish our lesson tonight. Hebrews chapter 4, let's read about this rest and what it is that we can look forward to. Hebrews chapter 4, we find this in the very beginning of the chapter. Verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 4 says this. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. See, there's a promise of rest. And the writer says, let's be careful that we don't make it. Let's be careful that we don't find that rest, that we're not allowed into that rest. So we skip down to verse 4. He writes, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works, and again in this place they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore, now notice he builds upon that, uses that as an example. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, remember, going into the land of Canaan, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day, of another rest. If that was the only rest that there was ever going to be, there would never have been spoken of another rest. So there remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. There remains a rest. In the future, a rest. Not on Sunday, but in the future. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. When will we cease from our works? The Bible tells us. There's a coming judgment day. The Bible talks about we only have time on earth while we are alive to work. We only have time in this life to work out our salvation. There's no opportunities, there's no chances to work out your salvation after you leave this world. Your time is up. So he says, be careful that you don't find yourself coming up short, not being able to enter that rest. The same rest the writer talks about that Jesus entered. Jesus, of course, entered heaven. So that's what we should strive for. Not thinking about Sunday being a Sabbath rest, but thinking about that eternal rest. That's what we should strive for. Because Jesus has led the way. Jesus is there. Jesus is waiting. He wants us to be there. But in this life is the life we have to prepare for it. No, we're not to observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. We're not to cease from labor on Sunday. The Bible says there is much for us to do on Sunday. There is much for us to do, and it's all important. So today is the day of salvation. If you want to enter His rest, decisions have to be made today. What am I going to do with my life? Am I going to worry about this world? Am I going to think about the next? So as David leads us in this song, notice the words of this song and think about, you know, what is my life? Have I got it where I want it to be? What do I need to do? And if I do need to do something, tonight is the day to do it. Don't wait. Let us stand and sing this song.